You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
We've been talking and preaching about worship, and worship being a way of life. We worship with our song, and let me tell you, that is paramount. You can't get away from that in Scripture. Over and over, the outward adoration, praise, the acts of worship that took place. Of course, it's not only the acts of worship, it's the life of worship, and that whatever we do as worship to the Lord. But you can't get away from singing and clapping and praising. You can't get away from the fruit of our lips offering up a sacrifice of praise. It's paramount. It's the theme of Scripture. In fact, I think it's the foundation of everything is learning and insight. I've preached this subject for years, for 30 plus years in ministry. And there are things that exploded in my spirit this week. And it's like you can't exhaust all that God wants to get across to us in this life of worship. David said this in Psalm 57 and verse number 7. It's a short verse. Would you declare this out loud with me? It says this: my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Amen. Amen. In some of the old translations of Scripture, this verse was translated to say, my heart is fixed. Obviously, a better translation is, my heart is steadfast. That's interesting. My heart is fixed. We're not talking here about a broken heart. We're talking about a resolute heart. We're talking about a committed heart. We're talking about a determined heart that says this: I will, I will, I will. Not I maybe, but I will sing and give praise to the Lord. Have you made that decision? Have you made a decision to live a life of passionate, powerful, perpetual praise and worship to the Lord? I want us to think about this subject today. I want us to think about the power of a life of worship. The power of a life of worship. And for the next few weeks, that's going to be our theme. That's going to be the foundation. We're going to look at one thing this morning, and then we're going to look at something else next week. But it all has to do with this: the power of a life of worship. See, worship is the foundation of life. Every person in here is going to worship something. You go to any place in the world and you're going to find people that worship. Worship is a part of their culture. It might be a rock. It might be a brook. It might be the sun. It might be a tree. It might be an animal. But people are going to worship something. Maybe you never thought of it this way, but in our American culture, we worship. When we get to the fall of the year, we're going to be preaching on the Ten Commandments. And of course, one of the commandments tells us that we're to have no other gods before us. Why? Because He is the only one to be worshiped. But you know what? We have a lot of gods right here. And we worship with our time, and we worship with our energies. To a lot of people, money is what they worship. And they'll sacrifice their family, and they'll sacrifice being in church because they are worshiping at the god of money, materialism. Some people worship at the god of recreation, the god of vacation. Listen, everybody needs a vacation. And I'll tell you this, if anybody loves vacation, I love vacation. As long as I have vacation to look forward to, I can put up with anything. But here's what happens is people love to worship at the god of what they want to do. And here's what happens. They sacrifice their Sunday. They sacrifice their family. Why? Because I got to go do what I want to do. I got to pursue pleasure. I know this is contrary to even where we live because this is known as Pleasure Island. But it's amazing the things that we sacrifice to and that we worship. I shared with you the first murder that happened. It was over worship. Satan fell. The issue was worship. He wanted what he wanted. He wanted to ascend. I will ascend up, put myself up above God. I'll get all the tension. World conflict is over worship. Worship. Is Allah God or is Jehovah God? The place of worship. Jerusalem divided. The conflict is worship. I remind you, the Holy Spirit fell in a worship service. They were in one mind and one accord. They were praising and magnifying God. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven. Suddenly heaven came. Why? Because of a praise and worship service. Miracles happen in the midst of praise and worship. I say it time and time and time again. I'll keep repeating it. Get it in your spirit. Write it on the sole of your shoe. Write it on an offering envelope. Stick it in your Bible. Get it in your mind. And it's this. Praise is really a statement of faith. Praise is a statement of faith. We pray and then we praise God for the answer. We praise him that he is the answer. Praise is the voice of faith. Say that with me. Praise is the voice of faith. Don't curse your blessing by being prayed for, saying that's not what God didn't do anything. Or confessing something that you believe God's put in your heart, but then later saying, well, I don't imagine it's really going to happen. Don't curse your blessing by undermining what you say. Praise is the voice of faith. Praise isn't what happens in the natural. We're going to talk about it just a second. Praise is a spiritual. It's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God's a spirit. Faith is a spiritual thing. It's not a part of our five senses. It's the number one sense of the spirit world. It's faith. Believing that he's able. Believing that he does exceeding. Believing that he'll do it for me. And so faith is the voice of, or praise is the voice of faith. So, powerful, think of this, perpetual. I'm talking about continual. Pattern, that it become a part of your nature. What have we talked about? God consciousness. A God, a constant God awareness. Psalm 34 and verse number 1 says this. Says, I will bless the Lord at when? All. Say it again. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually. Boy, those are big words, aren't they? I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. How about a little spiritual checkup right now? Is praise in your mouth? Do you continually think, my life, my words, my being, I'm blessing the Lord? I will bless the Lord at all times, not just good times. I will bless the Lord at all times. See, this is a huge subject for a number of reasons, especially this message today. But let me tell you this. Some of you today have a real bad problem with your mouth. And you're a gossip, and you're a backbiter, and you're divisive. And I get so sick and tired of the excuse of, well, that's just their nature, that's just their heritage. When I became a new creation, I got a new nature. How about you? And I believe this. I believe if we learn to continually bless the Lord, there wouldn't be near as much gossip that happens. There wouldn't be near as much drama. I hate drama. There wouldn't be near as much drama that happens. There would be so much more peace and rest that happens in people's lives. People be able to sleep at night. If we really took to heart, I'm to bless the Lord. There's a reason David was a man after God's own heart. And I understand he was repentant. I understand he had great sin. And I understand he was repentant. But I also understand this. He was the apple of God's eye. He got a hold of this thought of worship and praise. It was his life. A God awareness, a God consciousness, a God consciousness, a continual. What is praise? What is praise? You've heard me express this in times of praise and worship. I've never just preached this. I want to say this in preaching the word today. Praise, it's all of me. It's all of me, not part of me, but it's all of me responding to all. I'm going to say it this way this morning. It's all of me responding to all I know of God. That's why I need to be growing and learning so that I have greater insight, so I have greater understanding. See, I've not arrived. In fact, you know, Liz and I have been in ministry for almost 35 years, and there's times I think I know less today than I've ever known. It seems like things are fresh. It seems like things are new. It seems like I'm growing in my walk, my understanding. I'm learning more. It seems like every time I open the Word of God, it's fresh rhema that's coming. It's all of me responding to all I know of God. And I want to know more, but I give Him all. It's all of me. Well, I think we got it right years ago. I think we got it right. There's some elements of my upbringing that I understand with greater clarity today. I think we got it right. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. See, that's worship. All of me. Worship is presenting my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Getting rid of the junk in the world and the selfishness, my agenda, and getting a hold of God's agenda. Presenting my body a living sacrifice. All of me surrendered to Him. To all I know and am growing in the things of the Lord. John chapter 4 and verse 23, very familiar passage we refer to so often. It says this, but the hour is coming and now is. Let me stop right there. The hour is coming and now is. What are we talking about there? The hour is coming, and now is. See, up to that time, worship took place in a temple. Worship took place in a setting where people had no direct access to God. And so a high priest would go in and make the sacrifice. And the people would stay outside. And Jesus, talking to this Samaritan woman, is telling her, the hour's coming, really, lady, right now it is. I'm here. When now, it's not going to be that you travel to the temple so you can have your sins absolved for a year and you come back next year. But now, here's what's happening. See, what he was saying is, I'm going to give my life on the cross of Calvary. What he was saying is that it was a prophecy, if you will, and an insight, if you will. The curtain is going to be torn down. God's presence was separated from mankind. See, in the beginning, there was incredible worship. Does everybody understand this? In the beginning, Adam and Eve, total spirit beings responding to God. It was not a soulish, emotional, or physical thing. They were naked and they were unashamed. Their nakedness was clothed in the glory and the presence of God. And they fellowship. But sin brought division. And here's what sin did. Sin separated God from man. And all of a sudden, they went from living in a spiritual communion, and they were cast out of the garden, and now they're naked and they're ashamed. And now there's a distance and they don't have the fellowship and the closeness. So a sacrifice had to be made so there could be a connection. And all the Old Testament is leading to the promise of Jesus to die on the cross so that we could connect once again. Why? So we could live in the Spirit, so we could worship God. How? In spirit and in truth. Oh, come on, folks. What a miracle. What a miracle this is. That's what spirit and truth is. Because in the soulish realm, we're separated. It's an emotional, but God was working to connect us spiritually. Now's the time. The curtains broke down. Your sins can be covered by the blood of Jesus. By one man, sin entered. By one man, salvation has come. So why? Why? So we can worship. Worship. So we can worship. Worship. Worship God. Spirit. Spirit. God's a spirit. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. Our worship has to move beyond the soulish feel-good realm. I love the beat. I love the guitar. I love the drum. I love the experience. And it all points to an encounter with the Spirit. The Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Spirit. I was blind. I was blind. I was lost. But now I've come into relationship. I was dead, but now I'm alive. Did you catch the song? Do you catch the words that we sing today? And so to worship him in spirit is my spirit man is awakened. The reason so many people don't worship at church is they don't worship at home. They don't worship with their life. They live in their mind, their will, and their emotions. They live in a physical world. And you can't live in a physical world and experience the power of God. You can experience a tingle on your neck. You can experience some doodads up and down your spine. But there's not going to be a spirit connection because God is more than emotion. Now, you can't worship anything and it not affect your emotion, but worship is not about emotion. Worship is about spirit. Spirit. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." What was he saying? Soul, wake up and get in the spirit. He was commanding his soul to worship. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." You still with me here this morning? Amen? And so, we worship the Father in spirit. If you don't know Jesus, there's no worship. There's singing, and you might even enjoy it. But it's not worship. But there's a lot of American Christians that come to church and never worship. And you've heard me say this, we don't even come to church to worship. We don't even come to church to worship. We bring our worship with us. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Did you bring it today? Did you bring it today? Or did you come to be entertained? What's your mind? What do you want? You get what you expect. If you come expecting, you're going to touch God. If you come so the pastor will talk to you, so you won't be offended, so the pastor will do something to kind of cater you along, you miss the whole point. We come to worship, bring worship. Amen. And then it says this, not only spirit, but truth. What's truth? Well, we worship God according to his word. Worship God according to his word. That means our worship is based upon the foundation of God's word. You know, there's a reason why we clap, why we speak out praise, why we sing. We're basing this on the word of God. Amen? And so our worship is based on the truth of the word of God. But there's also an element I'd like to share with you, and it's this. Worship is also based on living out truth. What you're doing when you worship, see, some people have a work life, a business life. This is, you know, it's like this is church, but this is business. And I can lie and cheat, and I can pull the wool over your eyes. I can tell half truth. I can do whatever I want to sell you product because that's my work life and this is my worship life. No, this is my worship life. Hello? And so what we're talking about in spirit and truth worship is we're talking about we're sharing. I'm no longer ashamed. I'm not intimidated. I will publicly love Jesus in my work, with my words, with my songs, my worship. I will be truthful. I will be honest in how I feel about God. So many people are inhibited when they ought to be inhabited. See, praise shouldn't be something we have to do. Praise should be something that we can't, it's just in us. We are full of God and it's our life. American Christianity, we have so compartmentalized that it's just a segment of life. It's a Sunday of life. No, it's life. Worship God in truth. So many people worship God in truth. They try to maintain dignity. Mary, if you'll remember, she risked in her worship. She was extravagant in her worship. So many people's mindset in worship is just to save face. When in reality, my worship is spirit and it is absolute truth. It's when I'm honest before everyone. I love Jesus. How about this? We need to worship. We need to worship and praise God from principle and not just impulse. I'll let the shouts die down and I'll say it again. We need to worship God from principle and not impulse. David said, my heart is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. Not what I feel, not what's going on in my life, not if I got a good report or a bad report, not if I got a raise, got money, got a job or don't. I will. My heart is steadfast. I'm going to sing and I'm going to worship God. See, it doesn't matter what happens to me. We give praise to God. He's sovereign. He is always in control, regardless. Did you know that there's more emphasis on praise in your Bible than there is on prayer? Let me say it again. Did you know there's more emphasis on praise than there is prayer? And I do not in any way say that to diminish one iota prayer. But I want to show you scripturally how we got, how we've got prayer and praise confused. Because understand this, prayer and praise and worship are not the same thing. And how we have put so much emphasis on asking as the primary emphasis. What is prayer? What is prayer? Prayer, in the strictest sense of the word, is asking God for something. It's coming into his presence to receive something. And let me say right there, how many are so grateful that we have that incredible privilege? How many are glad that he's mindful of the smallest of detail of our life? How many are glad that he made every provision we will ever need in the cross of Calvary? Spiritually, emotionally, physically. Amen? But prayer is going into the presence of God, and it is to petition, and then it is to carry something away. Praise, listen, praise and worship goes into the presence of God to remain there forever. See, I don't have anything that God wants. He's got everything. There's only one thing that he would desire from me. Only one thing he would desire from me. And it's what? It's my praise. It's my worship. Praise goes into the presence of God. And praise ascends like a sweet incense to the Lord. And it gives him the only thing that I even remotely have to give. Because see, he don't need my money. He asked me to tithe because it's a lordship issue. But he don't need my money. He has the cattle on 1,000 hills, and it don't matter what cattle prices are. Streets are made of gold. Walls of jasper, gates of pearl. Let me tell you something. It's not my stuff God needs. He wants my worship, which is what? It's my heart. It's all. Glory be to him. Amen? What kind of relationship would you have with your husband, your wife? What kind of relationship would you have with your boss, with your friends, if all you ever did was said things like this: give me, could you, could I? Or all you ever did was want to give advice and give criticism. All you ever hear is give me, could you, can I? Advice and criticism. Number one, you might be a pastor. Or you might be a parent. Because we don't get a lot of appreciation when they're smaller. We do when they're older, don't we? But if that was all we got, that's no relationship. Hello? Hello? That's no relationship. See, get this. That's why Listen to me. This is why this message is paramount in light of tonight's service. It's paramount. It's why the Lord's Prayer starts before we ever ask for anything. When he taught us to pray, we start with a time, and I believe it should be extended time, of our Father which art in heaven, hallowed and holy be thy name. It's why we start with praise and worship. Hey, listen, it's why we start this service with praise and worship. Before we're praying and asking, before we're preaching, what are we doing? What are we doing? Psalm 100 says it best. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God, and it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures to all generations. See, that's why we do what we do. It's a biblical pattern. Amen? Yeah, but most of the Christian experience is give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Pray, pray, give me, pray, give me, pray, give me. And God inhabits and lives in praise, praise, worship, praise, worship, praise, and worship. See, true worship, powerful prayer, real Christ-following discipleship. I'm talking about authentic believing without having an angle of trying to get done what you want done. I'm talking about being an authentic follower of Jesus always starts with getting your mind off yourself. That's praise and worship. Hello? It's praise and worship. It's the reason we worship before we pray. It's a reason we worship. See, worship paves the way for prayer. Worship paves the way for the preaching of the Word of God. We don't have what they call preliminaries. We have a worship experience. That's why it's great to show up on time and worship, because God might want to speak to you. But most of us don't have time to worship. You learn to worship, it will affect your entire life. Why? Why continual praise and worship? Why continual praise and worship? I'm gonna have time this morning to go into it and pick it up, but here it is. It's to reverence the Savior. Hello? See, our prosperity-driven mindset, our warped view of authentic Christianity, there's not excitement about that. But if for no other reason, this is why we worship. Do you know that the primary purpose of angels in heaven is worship? Do you know that the elders in heaven, do you know that they worship? Look at Psalm 145:10. Says, all your works shall give thanks to you, or praise to you, O Lord, and all your saints will bless you. Revelation 4 and verse 8, look at this. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And all day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That's what heaven is. Revelation 5. Verse 11 says, then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that was within them saying, to him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. All of heaven is created. All of heaven is made to worship. Heaven is filled with worship. And it says, and your saints also. Also. Listen, if you really want to get in tune, you really want to get God, you really want to touch him, then learn to worship him. Watch how most of our worship goes. God, I love you. God, I love you. God, I thank you for my job. God, I thank you for my family. I love it. Thanks, 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 thanks. But how about God, you are amazing. You are worthy. You are holy. What about worshiping God just because he saved our lousy, sin-sick, lust-filled hearts and set us free? How about worshiping God just because he's worthy?